Right, Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah, chapter number 10, and verse number 15. Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 15. That's where you're going to find our text tonight. Had a good day today. Good service this morning. Been a good time of food and fellowship over at Smithville at Victory with Brother Johnny and his church folk over there. And fellowshipped all evening and skipped the evening nap and come right back over here for our evening service. Brother Jacob said outside earlier, we can rest when we die. And that's about right. But I'll tell you, if you're going to give yourself out, giving yourself out that way is the best way to do it. Some of us remember before the Lord came and redeemed us, we ran hard for the devil. You might as well run hard for the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to have Brother Jacob. It's already been said once or twice tonight. Good to have him. And I just want to echo what Brother Ernest said. Of course, this church is no stranger to great preachers nor great pastors. But I want to say from the pulpit in his presence and before you that you had a jewel of a pastor for nearly 6 years in Brother Jacob Rutledge. And I know that you do, but you need to always be grateful for that, always be thankful for that. Anytime you have the opportunity to let him or his family know that, you ought to do that. I tell you, I've said this to more than one person, but as far as a preacher coming to a church and doing what he can do to try to reach a community for God, I don't know how anybody could do anything more than what Brother Jacob done when he was here. And so always appreciate what he done for you as your pastor. You'll probably never know how many prayers he lifted up to God for you. You probably never know the concern and the burden he had for you and your family, but that's natural to a pastor. It's something that comes with a pastor. That's a pastor's heart. And let me say this along those lines, and we'll get to our text, but it sure is sweet to see a situation like this church has with their former pastor, that he can still come here and be embraced and be loved. It's not always that way, and you know it's not always that way, and that's a special thing, and I know you appreciate that, and I know Brother Jacob does too, and so it's good to have you tonight, Brother Jacob. All right, Isaiah chapter number 10 and verse number 15. We'll read through verse number 18. Picking up in verse number 15, the Bible says, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory shall he kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight again for an opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and handle the Word of God. And Lord, as best we can, we understand the magnitude of that, the weight of that. And Lord, as best we can, we understand our helplessness. So God, we ask you for help. God, help us and strengthen us. Give us Holy Ghost unction. God, please give us clarity of mind, clarity of speech. God, help us to say all that you'd have said tonight. Lord, give us discernment not to say more than that you would have said tonight. Lord, when all is said and done, we want to ask two things of you. First off, that the people of God be helped. But Lord, more than anything else, that the Son of God be magnified and be glorified in all that's said and done here tonight. Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to focus our time tonight. We want to take what time we have and look here at the 18th verse and the latter part of the 18th verse. God's speaking of judgment that's coming. But when he concludes what he has to say in these verses that we've read. He says, they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. They shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. So I want to speak to you tonight on the thought of when a standard bearer falls. When a standard bearer falls, what happens when a standard bearer falls? And then we want to look at the things that a standard bearer must do to prevent a fall. First, we probably should ask ourselves the question, what exactly is a standard bearer? Well, by definition, it's one who upholds or lifts high the banner, beacon, sign, or standard. That's what a standard bearer is. Who is a standard bearer? Well, that's anyone who stands before others and upholds the banner in which they all are unified under. That's who a standard bearer is. I'm reminded when I try to think in my mind of who all might qualify as being a standard bearer, I'm reminded of what the apostle tells us. He says that no man lives unto himself nor dies unto himself. Now, there is this thought in our day that people have when it comes to their sin. They say, well, if I am in sin, it's not hurting anybody but me. But the main problem with that line of thought is that it's just not true. No man lives unto himself nor dies unto himself. Rest assured, my sin affects more than just me. So you've come to the place to where you know me pretty well. And if you were to find out that I fell off into some gross, immoral sin, if you heard of that, would it not hurt you? Would it not break your heart? Of course it would. No man lives unto himself or dies unto himself. What would it do to my wife? What would it do to my children? What would it do to those that I've pastored through the years? So it applies to me. But then again, if you look at it under that lens of no man lives unto himself or dies unto himself, and then we consider the fact that everybody has somebody that looks up to them, in a sense, we all are standard bearers, are we not? And somebody might say, well, I'm no pastor, I'm no deacon, I'm no song leader or Sunday school teacher. Yeah, but you're a mama or a daddy, you're a mama or a papaw, you're an uncle or an aunt, you're a friend, you're a fellow church member, and there's people who look upon you and they hold a measure of respect for you because of the fact that you've walked with God for some measure of time. And that makes you, that in and of itself, makes you a standard bearer. That makes you a person who stands before others and upholds the banner in which they are all unified under. So, the question that we want to address firstly is, what happens when a standard bearer falls? What happens when a standard bearer falls? I want to point out five things. Firstly, it makes the standard bearer unclean. When a standard bearer falls, it makes the standard bearer unclean. Anytime a person falls, they take the dirt of this world. They take soil unto themselves. It marks them. It stains them. When a standard bearer falls, that standard bearer becomes unclean. How many times have we seen? How many times have we taken note of and heard of some great Christian leader who was found in some sort of sin? He's fallen, and what it does is it mars that man. It mars that testimony. And that person may repent. That person may get right with God. That person may do everything that they can do to right the wrongs that they have committed. But the fact remains that they were a standard bearer. And as a standard bearer, they have fallen and they have become unclean. And the fact and the reality of it is that standard bearer will never be used in the capacity that they were used before. The standard bearer has become unclean when the standard bearer falls. Consider this, child of God, when you recognize the fact that you are a standard bearer, when you fall, you will become unclean, and God will not be able to use you in the capacity that He used you before. You won't be able to do the things that you had done before. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 27. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway, that means one that has been put on the shelf.
That means one that has been rendered unfit for service, one who has been deemed unusable for the task that he was called to do. I'm reminded of Dr. Donald Wade down in South Louisiana, who is a friend and a mentor to me. He told us in reference to this verse one day, he said that he had been witnessing to a lady for a period of time, her and her husband, and finally he was invited to the home one day. And so they had some coffee and some refreshments, and she had a china cabinet with some very nice china there, and she was a short lady, and she reached up to the top shelf to get one of those cups for Dr. Way, and as she reached and stood on her tippy toes, she pulled the cup to the edge, and just as it came across the very edge of the shelf, she lost her grip and the cup fell to the floor and made a noise, but it didn't shatter. And the hope was that the cup was not damaged. But as she picked the cup up and inspected it with a close and a keen eye, she seen a hairline crack, a fracture all the way down the side. Dr. Way said that that lady took that cup and moved all the other cups to the side and set that cup to the very rear. That cup was still part of the collection. That cup was still on display. That cup could still be seen. But that cup, unlike the other cups, was no longer usable for the job that it had been made by its creator to do. And so it is with a standard bearer. When a standard bearer falls, that standard bearer is soiled. He is tainted. She is tainted, and she's no longer fit to do the job that she was called to do. What happens when a standard bearer falls? It makes the standard bearer unclean. Second, it brings the banner down from its rightful position. It brings the banner down from its rightful position. It stands to reason when the standard bearer falls, the standard bearer has a grip on the banner that he holds, the banner that he holds high, the banner that they are all united underneath. The banner is brought down from its rightful position. What is its rightful position? Its rightful position is to be held high in a place of reverence, in a place of respect. It is to be looked upon in honor. It is to be looked upon with pride. But when the standard bearer falls, he takes the banner down with him. The third thing that takes place when the standard bearer falls, it causes the banner to be defiled. Not only does it bring the banner down from its rightful position of being lifted high and waving in the air, it brings it down to ground level. It brings it down to the surface. And just as the standard bearer himself was soiled and was tainted from the contact with the dirt, so it is with the banner itself. The fact of the matter is the banner is not the one who incited the fall. The standard bearer is. But yet the standard bearer took the banner down with him. And it goes back to that very same verse again, friend. No man lives unto himself, nor dies unto himself. There's no such thing as victimless sin. There's no such thing as sin that only has one victim. Every sin that's ever committed has a multitude of victims. And the banner suffers when the standard bearer falls. The banner is brought low. The banner is soiled when the standard bearer falls. God help us as God's people and those who others look up to, those who others hold in a high regard. Help us to see the fact that we're looked upon and that we are a standard bearer, and that when we fall, we are soiled, we are tainted, but the standard is brought down and the standard is soiled, and the standard doesn't hold the glory. It doesn't hold the beauty. It doesn't demand the admiration of folks as it did before. God help us as standard bearers. Fourthly, when it comes to standard bearers and their fall and the things that come as a consequence of it, I would say it causes those following the standard bearer to fall. Not only has the standard bearer fallen, and he's brought the standard down from its rightful position, and he's caused the banner to be soiled, but he causes those who follow him to fall along with him. You understand, those who are a standard bearer, when they fall, they set an example. He is a standard bearer. When we bear a standard, that means that we meet a mark, that we hold a standard to a certain height, to a certain position. We use the word standard oftentimes to recognize a bare minimum, do we not? There are certain standards. If you're going to get into the Marine Corps, you have to meet certain standards. If you're going to be a fireman or a policeman, there are certain standards. You have to be able to run a certain distance in a certain amount of time and so on and so forth. You know, even if you're going to fly first class, you know, you still have to wear a certain attire. There's a certain standard if you're going to be seated in a first class section of an airplane. It would seem anymore that the only place that there's no standard set forth would be in the average house of God. No standard set forth anymore. The standard bearers among God's people for multiple generations now have fallen, and they brought the standard lower and lower and lower to a place to where unto God it seems as if anymore there's no standards for the house of God. It's just that people come to the house of God and they come and they participate and they live as they want to live. And there's no requirements placed upon them. There's no expectations. There's no standards whatsoever. And so it is at the house of God anymore. But why is it that way? It's because standard bearer after standard bearer after standard bearer failed. And we came to a place to where it was accepted behavior for standard bearers to fall. I remember when Jimmy Swaggart fell. You would have thought all of Christianity had fallen. And his denomination disciplined him for a period of time and put him out of the pulpit, and then he was right back at it. Well, Sun Life Broadcasting and so on and so forth. I'm sad to report to you this evening that the same thing takes place in innumerable independent fundamental Baptist churches in our day. We have youth leaders. We have senior pastors, associate pastors who are called in improper relationship with people in the church and out of the church, and it's swept under the rug. Listen to me now. Look up here. I'm preaching. I didn't say anything about praying. Listen. And we sweep it under the rug, and they move down the road to another town or to another state and get another gig at some other church, and everybody acts like nothing happened. And the standard has been dropped. The standard bearer has fallen. He has been sold. The banner has been brought low. The banner has been sold. And therefore, those that follow the standard bearer, it stands to reason, fall themselves. No, God help us. I'm telling you this morning, I said some things that were hard to be heard. I understand that. My wife reminded me later on this evening. She said, "Ronnie, you're not their pastor." I said, "Well, I reckon not, but in lieu of one, I'll do till they can get one." So, I'm saying to you tonight, these are things that are hard to be uttered. These are things that are hard to be heard. But hear me now. It's incumbent upon God's people. It's incumbent upon the church of God to have standards. If we're not going to have a standard at the house of God, if we're not going to have certain expectations for God's people and God's men and the servants of God, what are we doing anyway? What are we doing anyway? There has to be a standard, beloved. It causes those following the standard bearer to fall. You tell me, how can a church that covers up things like that say anything to people in their church who's caught in adulterous relationships? They can't. They don't have a leg to stand on. They'd be a hypocrite if they did. It causes those following the standard bearer to fall. Fifthly and finally, of the things that we want to look at that takes place when a standard bearer falls, it causes those looking on to lose any desire that they had to march under this banner. Amen. It causes those looking on to lose any desire that they had to march under this banner. You know, I told Brother Ernest this morning, I said, "I'm for evangelism, any kind of biblical evangelism. I'm for mailing out. I'm for tracts. I'm for street preaching. I'm for door-to-door soul winning. I'm for all of it. I'm for every bit of it. If it'll reach a soul, I'm for it." But I want to say this to you. Do you know what's the most... This is not a good terminology, forgive me. You don't know where you get the most bang for your buck in evangelism? It's with what I call organic soul winning. What that is, it's not me going up to a rank stranger's house and knocking on a door and handing them a short track that gives them a Romans road. And I'm not against that. Do I need to say that again? I'm not against that. But here's the most beneficial form. Boozer, I notice, has had a friend come to church with him several times. He's come with you several times when I wasn't here. He was here this morning. One of the first time or two that I was here and he was here, he was more quiet. He was very happy, but he didn't participate that much in the service. I noticed he was saying amen and getting in on the service a little bit this morning. Now listen, that's what I'm talking about, organic evangelism, organic soul winning. It's the most bang for your buck. You know what that is? That man has known Boozer for years now. And you know why he come in this morning and sat down beside that man? Because he sees something in that man that's different from the other people he's around. That's exactly why. And you know why we'd much rather go knock on a rank stranger's door than try to witness to some of our friends and co-workers and family? Hey, because that rank stranger don't know us. They don't know how we behave when life is putting the pressure on us. They hadn't seen us get mad at the workplace and throw a good Baptist cussing fit. They hadn't heard us being a hypocrite and talking about our supervisor behind his back. Amen. That's exactly right. That's how churches are built. Up there where you're pastoring, Brother Jacob, there's probably some of them people in that large crowd that you're pastoring who is reached through mail outs or door-to-door soul winning. Probably is, but I guarantee you most of them was reached because they got friends or family that goes to church there that they knew were real. And when they realized that they had a need for God, they said, I need to draw up close to them, do what they're doing, because obviously they've got something figured out. What happens when a standard bearer falls? It causes those looking on to lose any desire that they had to march under this banner. That's right. You're a standard bearer. You say you're a member of Unity Baptist Church. You say you're saved. You say you love Jesus. You're a standard bearer. That's exactly right. You go down there at the workplace, you're a standard bearer. In that beauty shop, she's a standard bearer. Down there at that workplace, driving that truck, he's a standard bearer. Working for the county, standard bearer. Every one of us are standard bearers. Every one of us. These are the things that happens when a standard bearer falls. We said it makes the standard bearer unclean. It brings the banner down from its rightful position. It causes the banner to be defiled. It causes those following the standard bearer to fall. And finally, it causes those looking on to lose any desire that they may have had to march under this banner. So, having considered that, let's consider three things that the standard bearer must do in order to prevent a fall. Three things the standard bearer must do to prevent a fall. First, be sure that you're dedicated to the banner that you bear. Be sure that you're dedicated to the banner that you bear. I'll tell you something, when you're marching into battle, you better know that you are dedicated to the banner that you bear. In recent days, I heard a story. It's old news, but I was just refreshed on it. I can't even remember the name of the town or the school, but there was a shooting at a schoolhouse. Someone came in and fired off a lot of rounds and took several lives. And there actually was an on-duty police officer at that school. And that police officer, when he realized what was happening, he went and hid because he was afraid of being killed. Now listen, he took an oath and he pledged to serve and to protect others, those in that community. And if you're going to protect anybody, you ought to protect the weakest among us, little children. And this man had a badge on his chest and he had a gun on his side. And the county, the city that he worked for, had equipped him and given him what he needed to do to fulfill the pledge that he had taken. He was a standard bearer. But yet when the day came that everything had to be laid on the line and that it might be required of him to give his very life for the standard that he bore, he realized something that day. I'm not totally sold out to this banner that I bear. It is that my family means more to me than these children that are being shot up in this schoolhouse. It is that my life means more to me than these children that are having their brains blown out at this very moment. And so like a coward, he retreated and hid from the gunman himself. If you're going to be a standard bearer, you better be sure that you are completely dedicated. That you are committed to the banner that you bear. The problem is we've got too many standard bearers that are involved with the standard that they bear. They're involved with it, but they are not committed to it. Brother Jacob, would you like for me to define for you the difference between involvement and commitment? Because you know that I can. I'd like to. My daddy years ago told me this over the breakfast table. He's a very uneducated man, but he was a bit of a philosopher. We had eggs and we had sausage. He said, "Son, do you know the difference between involvement and commitment?" What would you have said, Miranda? Probably no at that point. I mean, we're sitting here having breakfast. What kind of question is that? Well, that's exactly what I said. I said, no, knowing full well I was about to learn the difference between involvement and commitment. He said, "Well, son, it's on your plate." He said, "You see those eggs? The hen that laid that egg, she was involved in your breakfast. You see that sausage? The hog that came from, Brother Ernest, he's committed to the breakfast." And that's the problem we have in our churches nowadays. We got too many standard bearers that are involved with our banner, but not enough that are committed to the banner. Everybody is willing to sit down for a minute and leave an egg, but nobody is willing to give their very life for the cause of Christ anymore. Nobody is willing to give everything that they have. Be sure that you're dedicated to the banner that you bear. Second thing that the standard bearer must do to prevent a fall: always consider those following you before you consider yourself. Always consider those following you before you consider yourself. Could I reference the verse once more? No man lives unto himself, nor dies unto himself. And so I'm saying to you, when the opportunity to pull the standard down, the opportunity to fall, to fail, to falter, to turn back, when those opportunities present themselves, don't think about yourself. Think about the ones that are following you. They're following you. They're looking on. Brother Boozer, you got too much invested. You can't bring the standard down. You can't afford to falter. You can't afford to fail. I've looked at those pictures time and again of those little grand boys gathered around this very altar with you. You can't let the banner down. You can't drop the standard. There's somebody looking up to you. There's somebody dependent on you. For God's sake, hold the banner high. For God's sake, march on. For God's sake, forget about involvement and let's all get committed. Consider those following you before considering yourself. And finally, things that the standard bearer must do to prevent a fall. Yes, be sure that you're dedicated to the banner you bear. Always consider those following you before you consider yourself. But finally, and most importantly, always, always remember that you are the standard bearer and you are not the general. You are the standard bearer. There is a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. But I want to tell you something. We have one to follow. There are those that follow us as a standard bearer. But we have a general to follow. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to follow. He is our standard bearer. He is the one that we look to. He is the one who came to a sin-cursed world, who hated God, rejected God, rejected the light. But yet He came to a sin-cursed world that was an enemy to Him, and He loved this sin-cursed world, and He came as a babe in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and had His face set as a flint toward Calvary, and He marched up Calvary's hill, and He was hung on a wretched tree on Calvary's hill, and He shed His life's blood that whosoever will could call on Him and be saved by the good grace of God. And He tasted death for every man. And listen, 3 days later rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and He conquered every one of them. That's our standard bearer. That's who we look to. I'm telling you, the Bible said, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Thank God we've got one who finished His race. He finished His course. We look to Him. He's our standard bearer. He's our example. We take our encouragement from Him. Standard bearer. Standard bearers. Every one of you are. Who do you look to? Brother Jacob? No. Brother Ronnie? No. Brother Ernest? No. You don't look to us. You may respect us and love us, but I'm telling you, you look to the lovely Lord Jesus. He is the one who set our perfect example before us. He is our example. And if we follow Him, we shall never fall. We shall never be soiled as a standard bearer. We shall never bring the standard down low. We shall never cause the standard to be tainted. We shall never cause those that follow us to fall. We shall never cause those looking on to lose any desire that they had to march under the banner that we are all united under. Standard bearers, look to the Lord Jesus, that we may never fall as a standard bearer. Let's all stand, if you would. Brother Ernest, Sister Willistine, come with us, a hymn of invitation, if you would. Let's all bow our head and pray. Our Father, we thank You tonight for the time that we've had the privilege to spend around the Word of God tonight. Oh God, help us each one tonight realize that we are a standard bearer. Whether or not we recognized it before this service, there are those that look unto us with some measure of respect, some measure of admiration in our Christian life. Oh God, tonight, help us to see that without the help of God, we are doomed to drop the standard. We are doomed to be soiled and to soil the banner and to cause those following behind us to fall and to cause those that looked on with any desire to march under this glorious banner to lose that desire. Help us to look to the lovely Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us to know in our heart that we're not just involved, but that we are dedicated to this banner. Help us to always consider those that follow us before we consider ourselves. And help us understand that though we are a standard bearer and we have much responsibility, we're not the general. We have a general who's worthy of our adoration and who we can confidently follow, knowing that we'll never fail nor fall if we follow His perfect example. We ask it in His precious name. Amen.